Friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me. Stop holding
you. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh, well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone.
Download the brand new Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere with notifications from the team straight to your phone. All right, we bring aboard our excellent producer, Jason Gibbs, because this is the time in the show when we go to ask the experts. I guess that's us, Jim.
Yeah.
That's right. You make the $8.05 an hour.
That's us. You got it, baby.
Hey, let me just ask you guys as experts before Jason goes into his segment here.
Yes, Jim.
And that is, I was always surprised that Steve Mariucci never got another whack at coaching. You know, we had him on, and I love his language. I love his enthusiasm. Even when I see him, you know, when the Browns are on Thursday Night Football, and you see him down on their set there before the game, I just always thought he would get another crack at it.
I think two things. One, getting to know him reasonably well through the years, he really loves this TV game.
He really does.
It appeals to him, and I think as his sons have gotten older, it occurred to him as it occurred to John Gruden, kind of the same from that same homegrown coaching tree, that life was a lot better where you could be into this game in a big way, but not into it so much that you can't have any life beyond it, and coaches don't have any life beyond it.
Yeah,
it's pretty simply put.
Because like so many others, he was connected here at one point or 2 points.
Oh, yeah. No, he was – I think – and also he liked being courted. Sometimes these guys like being courted more than they actually like getting the job, because sometimes being courted helps them often get better bumps in pay in the non-pressure world of media, if that's the way we can describe it.
All right, Jason, play the national anthem and do your segment.
How do I even go on after that? Steve Malin tweets at us, guys. Any chance Armani Bryant gets reps at outside linebacker?
I don't see it. I can see why that question would be asked.
What is the question? I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
I'm sorry. Armani
Bryant. Oh, Armani Bryant.
Armani
okay, go
Bryant,
ahead.
Does
go
he
ahead,
get any reps at OLB? And I think the answer is no. He's a pretty straight, like his body, his body type. Lends itself, I think, much more to D-line play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he has that true overall flexibility to be a guy that you're going to drop into coverage, which will happen a lot in this scheme, this blitz and replace kind of scheme that they have here. He can attack the edge much more comfortably, I believe, with his hand down versus maybe in a two-point stance. And I think he's also I think there's still raw elements of his game. He's an effort guy. He's an instinctive guy.
Right.
I think to play outside linebacker, it gets a lot more complex. And I'm not saying he can't handle that, but I think you're playing much more to his strength as a D lineman.
I totally agree with you. He flashes every time he's in there. And I think, as with Mingo, I think they're going to simplify to guys' talents. Straightforward, go straightforward, get the guy, get the quarterback. And I think he's a guy that every time he's in there, he is in there. He is in the quarterback's face, if not on his, draped around his shoulders. So I wouldn't do it. I would let him combat what he's trying to combat right now and learn that position.
All right, guys. Paul Myers tweets at the show, at Browns Daily. Hayden and Gilbert have both said small, fast wide receivers are harder to cover. Do you think Farmer is remaking the wide receiver core in this vision?
I don't think so. I mean, as much as I'm aware of those comments, and I think they have substance to them coming from guys who should know the differences and the difficulties, especially Joe Hayden, I would say that, those guys are difficult to cover, but those guys, the damage and impact that they do for you is much more akin to longer running plays, I mean, on average, on general, than game-breaking plays. And I think I would think that if you're remaking your receiving core to just be those kind of guys, you're allowing your opposing defenses to have an easier time of shutting down what you do.
Yeah, here's what I think.
In the passing.
Yeah, and Paul, here's what I think. I think it all comes down to, can they get off the line of scrimmage and get open? And, you know, can you get away from the block right off the – can you get away from – in those first 5 yards.
The jam.
When they can get their hands on you on that jam, can you free yourself? Now, whether you're big or small, I mean, that's the key thing right now. I think Greg Little had trouble getting off and getting open,
Definitely.
You know, off the 5 yard thing. And I think that's the problem. I think Gordon is, you know, very proficient at it, and then he lengthens.
Yes.
So I think it's really those first 5 yards tell you everything.
Yeah, I want to see how – and I want to see Andrew Hawkins – kind of do that on a consistent basis, because what happens with the smaller guys, especially ones that opponents fear are productive, they will go out of their way to make sure that guy gets hit every possible chance
up,
he can.
Yeah, you get
blow him up,
right,
and especially when he catches, sometimes allowing him to catch the ball just for the sake of discouraging him from doing it the next time with a hard hit.
I mean, you go to the AFC Championship game last year real quickly. I mean, Edelman got blown up. Denver decided we are going to blow him up at the line of scrimmage. And it was used very, very effectively.
Final question in this segment, guys, from Kenny Carter. Any news on the fullback position?
Nothing overwhelming. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see Marquise Gray and how he fits into the mix at fullback, because he's been used there. And I got, you know, I have a general feeling that this is where they want to see pretty much what he's about. I would say he's probably, if he's not all the way out of the tight end conversation, he's less in that conversation than he was previously. And I think the idea now is to see what he'll be at fullback. But how will they define fullback on this team, Jim? I think it's going to be a lot less traditional than what you think the fullback is. I think it's much more the hybrid role, which is what Gray
Well, Gray would
is.
Be good at that. Yeah, you're right, yeah. He's a great player in the sense that he can give you a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I mean, when they ran him out of the, you know, the Wildcat, when they ran him last year, there were times he was very effective at that. I mean, he's very athletic. He is really big. I mean, I could see him being a hybrid fullback here. I really can. But I think you're right, Vic. I think that they're going to do a lot of different things, you know, and try and get more out of the fullback position than just a guy that's going to be a bulldozer in front of whoever the running back is on that particular play.
All right, Jim, want to take a trip around the league next? We'll do that?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to hear from Richard Sherman from the Seahawks, Ben Roethlisberger from the Steelers, Adam Schefter on ESPN's SportsCenter. Some interesting comments about the NFL that we want to share with you, and we'll share our thoughts. All of that and much more, Gerard Cherry will be coming up with our three topics with the three-time Super Bowl champ, as we do that on Mondays here on this Football Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
If you ever feel alone, and the glare makes me hard to find, there's no-